Amen. So we have been so blessed in America from the heritage that we received from the Reformation, from our spiritual forefathers, and one of the most important doctrines is Semper Reformendum, that we are to continue that Reformation. We are to keep working, keep witnessing, keep those truths alive. We live in a day, in our day, unfortunately, where we have a problem. And our central problem is Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And I think in America, I would characterize it today, but people are running wild. People are wildly crazy, out of control. And the wildness is only getting worse. You see the craziness that people are doing, the immorality, the drunkenness, the daily lives in America are growing bolder in their sin every year, which is astonishing when you consider our roots, the blessing that the Lord has given upon this nation. Our very liberties come from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our liberties come from the covenants and the reformed thinking, as Mark described, that have blessed America in its total foundation. The lives of many Americans are completely ignorant of these facts through apostasy and the growth of a great apostatizing away from the truth of the gospel and the word of God. We see Americans growing bolder in their sin every year with murder and abortion, sexual immorality and immodesty, lying and deceit, stealing and laziness. The destruction of the family is almost complete. That is the multi-generational family. The dismissal of the church is a given. The elevation of politics, power, and pop culture all witness to the open rebellion against God. The church has been overwhelmed by this flood of evil. But rather than confronting it, the church in the West largely reflects it. Therefore, the next 500 years, if the Lord should tarry, we can expect to see God's judgment and a loss of freedom. We as a people are fragmented, with further fragmentation on the horizon. This is our ripe context for the next 500 years for Reformation. It's in the darkest times when the Lord shines his light of revival. God does the work of revival, but men must do the work of reformation. Back to Scripture. All in the power of his Spirit, all motivated by his grace. Here's what we must do. In seeking God in prayer for revival, we must reform. In God's providence, there will be that tipping point. As we pray for a revival and the central doctrine must be uncovered, sola scriptura, the Bible's authority. That is, we must confront evil with God's truth. We must start in our own hearts. And as Luther's first thesis said, when Jesus said, repent, he meant repent and keep repenting. We must start in our hearts and then we must turn and confront evil everywhere it is found. God's law is true. God's law is the standard for good and for evil, for right and for wrong. It is binding, and it alone can teach us the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord that people lack as they run wild. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. The word cast off restraint there has the idea of running wild and crazy into all manner of sexual immorality and idolatry. But it is God's word that gives that restraint. Happy is he who keeps the law, Proverbs 29:18. Luther's first thesis makes this very clear. The scriptures say, repent and believe in the gospel. Our starting point for repentance must be the false idol of self and self-authority, self-autonomy. The false notion of autonomy is as damning today as the tyranny of the Pope was in Luther's day. People today have no problem boldly asserting their own autonomy, their own authority over everything, thinking that their own desires dictate reality. Whether they should be a male or a female is simply a matter of their choice. Whether they want to kill their babies or not is simply a matter of their choice. Whether they like you or not is simply a matter of their feelings. This is a radicalization of the autonomy of self. We are not free to do whatever we want. Selfishness, self-autonomy must be abolished in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must uncover the true preaching of the Word of God, the law of God that defines sin, and the answer to the sinfulness and insidiousness of selfish autonomy, which is Christ alone. It is faith alone in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, motivated only by His grace, that can tear down the idol of self. We must learn to obey God. Obeying God because God said to be obeyed. In the power of His Holy Spirit, we must learn to think right and wrong because God said so. This is right because God said it was right, and this is wrong because God says it is wrong. We must understand that worship, biblical worship, is not an emotional response. Biblical worship is to honor the King and submit to His will as defined by His Word. In that sense, all of life becomes worship. And as we look at all of life as submission to God as defined by His Word, we see some of the most important aspects for the ongoing reformation is in the area of jurisdictions. Jurisdictions involve the proper outworking of God's authority on earth. So for the Reformation to continue, we must embrace God's authority and understand that God's authority creates legitimate earthly authority that is to be honored and respected and obeyed. That authority begins in the home, in the family. Issues of dominion and fatherhood and motherhood and education and economics and all the things that we speak about on a regular matter are all issues of biblical authority. We must address these issues because these are the issues where the devil is attacking the most. Currently, there is legislation passed in California that if you address a person by the wrong gender and you do it continually, you could go to jail. That is the area where the devil is attacking in the family, the confusion, the massive confusion that is going on in our homes, in the families. We must have biblical authority and submit to Christ as it relates to the issue of His biblical cosmology that defines our purpose from Genesis on, that we can walk out worship to God in our homes. But it doesn't stop there. Of course, we must also keep reforming in the church. And we do not face the same pressure that they did in the Reformation. In this way, we could pretty much do whatever we want in a church service. The state is not gonna really care, are they? But the state is going to make sure that the wicked are free to do whatever they want and throw every manner of distraction at us, every manner of sexual immorality at us, and drown out the voice. And the church has been succumbed through the seduction. So our power, because of our compromise, has been greatly diminished through the distractions, through the world, the flesh, and the devil. These things must be repented of. We must understand the central issue for the church is the Great Commission, where Jesus brings it back to authority once again. All authority is given to me on heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make, teach, baptize, disciples, teaching them to observe, to obey everything I've commanded you. So the church has been given authority by Jesus Christ to go and make disciples. And in that authority, it's given this promise in 1 John 3:8. We must understand that the purpose of the Son of God, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That is where the works of the devil are. The church has been commissioned in the power of Christ and the preaching of His word, in obedience to His commission, that we are to destroy the works of the devil. That is, we're to cast them down, to remove them, to repent of them. This is what it means to be born again. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So the church is to be those who are made up of those who have been born again, and those who are born again love righteousness, that is, they hate wickedness. Those who are born again, they love the brethren, that is, they don't hate the brethren. They love righteousness, not wickedness. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Today the churches are full of Cains who are in leadership positions, who lead the church in unrighteousness and all manner of creative ideas to try to draw in the masses, but do not include the preaching of the law of God, the true conviction of sin, and of course, the gospel as the only hope for eternal salvation. Sure, there is from the time of the Reformation, there's a great talk of grace and a flooding of grace, but there's little talk of righteousness and understanding that the grace of God teaches us to walk out a righteous life. Motivated by grace, yes. Saturated in love, yes. Purposed because of justification, absolutely. Predestined, you bet you. But nonetheless, it is a life lived of righteousness that is not to be mingled with unrighteousness. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So it's time that we must recover the true preaching of the gospel, the word of God, and call sinners to repentance, even if they've been in the church for 50 years, even if they've been baptized 5 times. They do not practice righteousness. They do not love the brethren. There needs to be repentance. In this way, we begin to destroy the works of the devil to remove the hypocritical Cains from the church. How will God do this? That's what the next 500 years will be about. What will God use? A shrinking of our liberties? We don't fear that. We know liberty comes from righteousness, as we are no longer righteous as a people, and as the church has lost its distinction in righteousness, we lose our liberties. My hope and my prayer for the next 500 years, Lord willing, is that as these pressures come upon the church by the Spirit of the living God, we repent and we reform and we return, and God helps us to remove the hypocritical Cains from our hearts and certainly from our midst. This takes great boldness once again, as reformation is always a difficult task, a dangerous task. We must be willing to pull down evil and build on the truth in every area of life. In dealing with pop culture, we must be discerning. We must be discerning and discerning good from evil. We must be producing, not merely consumers. We must be producing things that are consistent with a biblical worldview. We must see ourselves as producers, not consumers. And we must be about promoting the truth of the Scripture. Rather than simply reacting to the news, we need to make it. As we stand on God's Word and God's Word alone, the church is designed to be victorious. The church is designed not to be driven by the culture, but to drive the culture. Driving the culture means we rest in God's Word alone, and we have distinctively biblical applications that are resting squarely on Scripture and Scripture alone in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the recovery of the prophetic vision, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. That revelation is when the Holy Spirit comes and opens our eyes to the Word of God, and things we didn't see before now we see. Things we used to do, we don't do them anymore. And what we no longer do is we destroy the works of the devil, so that the works of righteousness and peace and love and joy in the Holy Spirit can fill our hearts and our minds and our soul. We do this by removing the popular culture's grip that it has on so many in the church and without the church, discerning, producing, and promoting. We are in a radical period of social transformation right now. As the printing press was to the Reformation, so the internet will be, and communication like that, to the next 500 years. Currently, the wicked have a pretty good corner on the internet. We must use these modern means to communicate truth, the gospel, not as consumers, but as producers in it. We must harness these resources as God used that in the Reformation 500 years ago, so we have amazing technologies that we can use to communicate truth around the globe. But that's only part of it. In the promotion of biblical truth, we must live out our faith in local communities. There will never be a substitute for living out our faith in local communities, face to face, hand to hand, heart to heart. Our world will lose its abilities to have social interactions on a God-designed way. The church needs to not only use, not be distracted, but use the communication technologies that we have without losing her soul in them. Face to face, heart to heart, hand to hand, walking out in integrity, in our families, seeking God's blessing, in the community, loving one another as Christ taught us, fulfilling his great commission, using every opportunity we have to promote the kingdom of God. And may God bless us as he blesses us in these areas which we know is his will. The result of that is always a limited government. This is our heritage as American citizens. This is, so to speak, our birthright. And I pray that for the next 500 years grants repentance, revival, and liberty. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for this opportunity that we've had tonight to gather here together, to look at your word. We thank you for the history that you have done. We praise you, God, for your amazing grace. I pray, Lord, if there's any here who do not know you, that they would come to Christ, that they would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, for today is the day of salvation. I ask for your mercy, Lord, upon your churches, to come out from among them, to be separate, to trust in you, to walk us. Please walk out your truth. Please grant us revival, O God, and wisdom and reformation. May your work continue into the end, until you return in your glorious kingdom, which we look forward so, even so. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen.